I'm excited that he saved me. Amen. I'll tell you, it is good to know that you've been forgiven of your sins and that heaven is your eternal home. Amen. Now we go through troubles and trials. We face heartaches and all that. But that ain't nothing compared to the fact that we've been forgiven of our sins and we got an eternal home in heaven. I mean, that, listen to me, that supersedes all the junk we might have to go through. Amen, it does. I tell you, I am so excited. I thank the Lord for showing up tonight, amen. I'm glad he's here. If you don't know it and you're sitting there guessing, saying, well, what's the preacher talking about? Feeling and all of that. Well, what is that? That's him. What is that all about? I feel sorry for you. Well, I tell you what you need to do. You ought to come to the altar and just get down and pray and say, dear God, come into my heart and forgive me my sins and save me. And he'll do that, and then you'll know what's going on. Amen. Listen to me. I'd hate to know I had some kind of salvation that I couldn't feel.
Come on.
I'm serious as I can be. Boy, everybody knocks the feeling part. I'm going to tell you what. Well, if feelings don't matter, why do we gripe so much? Huh? Yeah, they do. They play a big part in our life, don't they? Problem is, we'll give way to the bad feelings. We'll yield to those bad feelings, but we won't yield to the good feeling. Amen? I mean, we ought to yield to the Holy Ghost of God and let Him. Bible says we're not to quench the Spirit. You know what quenching is, don't you? It's trying to put out a fire. That's what quenching is putting out a fire. And, boy, I'm afraid many times we're guilty of putting out the fire of the Holy Ghost. It burns in our hearts and in our souls and gets us so excited. We just want to shout, amen. Not knowing exactly what to say, sometimes we just say, "Woo!" Amen. I'm telling you, that's when it gets good. And we need to yield to Him and quit trying to be dignified. I ain't seen a one of you that's dignified anyway. So quit that junk. Amen. Or just enjoy your salvation. Praise God. I mean, the Bible talks about this so great salvation. Amen. Ought to enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Well, open your Bibles to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 10. We'll try to preach to you the message God's laid on our heart tonight. Numbers chapter number 10, verse number 29. Numbers chapter 10 and verse number 29. Good to see each of you tonight. Appreciate you taking time out to come. I know you say, well, I'm supposed to. Yes, you are, but I'm glad you did it. Amen. A lot of things we're supposed to do that we don't do, so I'm glad you did this. Amen. And I'm just glad that you could have had a reason for not coming tonight, toe hurting you, something like that, you know, and you could have come up with a good one, but I'm glad tonight that you came because you love God. I mean that. I'm so thankful that you're here tonight. Now you stand with us, and we'll read verse number 29 of Numbers chapter number 10. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29, and Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank you, dear God, that we're here tonight just to maybe get a little more help in us giving an invitation for those to come and journey with us. God, we thank you for these that are faithful tonight. I know, Lord, sometimes it seems so discouraging. We look around and we want the multitudes coming with us. We want the crowds to come and go with us tonight. And it seems like they're so unconcerned and they're disinterested. And even some of those that are on the journey with us, Lord, seems like they get so distracted and all of a sudden they're not journeying any farther or any longer to that wonderful place that we're journeying to, but it seems like, Lord, they're caught up in the world and they're happy just staying here. They're pitching their tent here, Lord, and willing to stay. And I pray, God, rather than us getting discouraged, we'd realize, Lord, how important it is because of these things happening that we continue to be faithful, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in your work, Lord, that our labor be not in vain. For Lord, if we'll stay faithful, there's hope for those that are unfaithful. If we'll stay faithful, there's hope for those that do not even know about this journey that we're taking. I pray tonight, Heavenly Father, that you would just linger with us a little while longer. Thank you, God, for showing up already. My heart's been blessed, Lord. If the pastor said, I think we'll just have a word of prayer and go home. Lord, I'd honestly leave tonight with my soul being blessed and my heart full, and I thank you for that. Lord, since it's fallen our lot to preach now, I pray, God, that you'd use us and help us this hour. Lord, I pray, God, for an anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight, that you'll speak through us and then to us, Lord, that we might get some help that we so desperately need, that encouragement, Lord, that challenge from the Holy Spirit tonight. God, just do a work of grace in our midst, Lord. If there's somebody here tonight that's lost, we pray, dear Lord, that this will be the night, Lord, that they'll come, they'll fall in your mighty arms and cry out for mercy and grace. And Lord, we know that you'll grant it according to your will. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' wonderful and precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Moses and the children of Israel, we know the story, but they've come out of Egypt and they're on their journey to, the Bible calls it, the promised land. We know it's not heaven, okay? We don't look at it like it's heaven, amen? They're not going to heaven. They're going to the promised land. And it's a better land than what they've been in, and a better situation and all the way around. And but there, even though it's the promised land, whatever we might want to call it, even though it is that good land, amen, they're still going to have battles over there, so that's not heaven. Right. Amen. They're going to still face the enemy over there. Amen. Over here they've got enemies. Over there they're going to have enemies. Amen. And that lets us know that God's not talking about heaven. Amen. Because heaven is a place where there is no enemies. Not even one. Amen. Not an enemy in heaven. And we rejoice in that. But as they're journeying, they get hooked up with the in-laws, okay? Family members. And so Moses extends a invitation for them to come and go with them. Folks, that's what our job is in this life. That's the reason when we got down at an altar of prayer, whether it be in a church or at home or on the side of the road or in a cornfield or wherever it was, and we asked the Lord to come into our heart and save us, that's the reason God didn't say, okay, you're saved, and now I'm going to thump you in the head and take you out of this life because you got saved. It's all over with now. Come on to heaven. He left us here, my friend, so that you and I can extend to everyone else this same invitation that, like Moses, is extended to his family. We're journeying tonight. Amen. We're on a long trip. Sometimes it gets hard. Amen. I mean, I want to warn you ahead of time. Sometimes this journey gets hard. I mean, it gets tough. Sometimes, my friend, we'll get so disgusted and discouraged in the way that we'll want to quit. Amen. I mean, we'll listen to me. You say, I've never wanted to quit. Well, you just hadn't been saved long enough. Because you will. I promise you will. You'll get discouraged on the way. I mean, things will happen, and I don't mean that you get upset with God and you get mad at God. I'm talking about you get discouraged because of the things around about you, the heartaches, the troubles, the difficulties of it all. I mean, even the flesh itself discourages us and wants us to quit.
Yes, sir. Come on.
But my friend, I'm going to tell you, we're down here. We're left in this place called Earth. And as we journey, and God is saying, I want you to stay faithful to me. I want you to walk close to me so that you'll not get so discouraged that you quit. Why? Why are we here? Why are we doing this? My friend, listen to me. It's because we've got we have the most precious invitation to give that the world's ever known. I mean, God is interested in you and I. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how backslidden you are. God is interested in his people. The most wonderful invitation that there is to be given. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, it's better than saying, hey, let's go to a rock concert.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's better. Brother Fred, it's better than going to a car race. Amen. I mean that. Oh, it's better than going to a ball game. I mean, it's better than being, anything else is better. It's better than that. Amen. I mean, it's just, it is the best invitation that we could possibly give, that the world could receive if they would, my friend. This invitation, that is, come and go with us. Amen. I look at Moses and I think about this invitation from Moses' standpoint. And folks, you know what makes, listen to me, you know what makes this journey so precious? If we'll remember this, you know what makes the journey so precious? Thinking about where we came from. We forget, don't we? We forget where we've been brought out of. Some of us sitting here now, well, I don't get it. I don't know what you're talking about. We forget it, don't we? We forget where we were. Listen to me. Though Moses was in Egypt, we look at Moses' life while he lived in Egypt, and to be honest with you, it wasn't bad. Amen. Let me give you some verses of Scripture. All right, open with me and turn back to Exodus chapter number 1. Exodus chapter number 1. Verses 13 and 14. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 1, verse 13, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. That means strictness, difficulties, extreme conditions. Then in verse 14, it says, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. What God is telling us there is that the Israelite, God's chosen people, are found, right, my friend, in bondage there in Egypt. The Egyptians have taken them and literally made slaves out of them, and that's all they are, is slaves. They've been a slave to the Egyptians, and whatever the Egyptians have said, they've had to do. And my friend, it wasn't just that, but well, look with me over in Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 7. The Bible says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I mean, this is God's people. They're down there in Egypt, and I mean, the hardship is placed upon their backs, upon their shoulders, and they're getting to the place where they're not able to bear the burdens any longer. They're crying out for help. They're crying out for help. It's amazing to me that once we get saved, that we forget how we used to cry out for help. You say, Brother Danny, I never cried out for help when I was lost. Wrong. Wrong. Some folks cry out for help by doing this. Psh. They say, well, I'm trying to drink my cares away. You know what they're doing? They're calling out for help. Some folks will do it through drugs or whatever, how they might take them. I know a little bit about the drinking thing, but I don't know nothing about the drug thing. Amen. But they're crying out, and they're needing help in their situation, in the hardships of life. And so they reach out to drugs to get help. You say, well, that's stupid. They're not getting any help. Oh, I agree. They're not getting any help. But it don't stop them from reaching out, because, you see, the problem is a lot of folks do not know where to reach to in order to get help. Amen. Thank God for the church, for Christians, born again believers in Christ. Amen. Why? Because we know who to reach to. Right. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we were in bondage. We were in our Egypt. We were slaves to our taskmasters. Amen. To this world, this flesh dictated to us what we needed to do and what we had to do in order to get by, my friend. We listened to it and we obeyed it. We listened to the world system as the world tells us what we've got to do in order to be happy. We've got to work. We got to work. We got to work. We got to work, work, work. I mean, overtime, double overtime, triple overtime, and get us a second job and a third job. If you really want to be happy, you got to work yourself to death. We know that's not true. Amen. Y'all looking at me kind of funny like. My friend, that doesn't bring, all that does is bring about early death. There's no happiness in that. We've been taught that the harder we work, the more money we make, the more money we make, the more things we buy, the more things we buy, the happier we are. Boy, isn't that a lie. I found out the more I get, the more I'm dissatisfied with what I got and always wanting more. Amen. It's the truth. And yet we turn right around and this principle that the world is telling us about, we turn around and we try to teach it to our own children, knowing there's no truth in this, yet we push it on them. It is the truth. You don't have to really agree. I just know it's the truth anyway. My friend, here they are. They're in Egypt in bondage right there, and they're crying out, and they're asking for help, just like the world is trying to get help today. I mean, I know it seems crazy. You say, Brother Danny, they don't really want help. They honestly do want help.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They'll destroy their life trying to find a way to get help. Amen. Sex, or today's sex is, it's the thing that solves every problem. Do you believe that? Have you noticed all the problems that it creates? Have you noticed that? And yet the world, there's more advertisement about sex today than there ever has been, as though it's the cure-all. Honestly, I'm not making light of it. It's a sad fact. Hollywood has told us that living those sex lives and sex parties and all of that is the way to have a good life. And we watch them as their lives are ruined, as they one by one commit suicide. They're getting messed up on all the drugs and all the alcohol and all the other stuff that goes along with it. Folks, listen to me. The problem is this world does not have the answer. Why? Because the answer is not found in this world. The answer is not of this world. As a matter of fact, the answer, my friend, is from a whole nother world. Amen. But we're privileged. God has saved our soul. Amen. One day, someone extended to us an invitation to come and go with them. Whether it had been a tract, or whether it be a preacher, or some old soul winner, just telling us about Jesus. And they invited us to come and go with them. And you know what we did? We responded to that invitation and we accepted Christ as our personal Savior. And thus we got on the same road with them, journeying to another place. Amen. And now God says, now that you've done that, you know what you can do? Give somebody else an invitation to come and go with you. As they're reaching out for help, be the one that reaches back out and gives them the answer, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Moses is thinking about this. But my friend, but not only that, Moses is thinking about the place that they're coming from. You say, Brother Danny, but you said he didn't have it all that bad. It didn't look like he had it all that bad. But in reality, he did. Because you see, sometimes heartaches don't show on some folks, but it's still there. You say, what do you mean? Moses is in Egypt. You know the story. Remember how he was born, and at that time they were taking all the male children, maybe male babies, and killing them. And Moses was hid in the river's brink. And Pharaoh's daughter came down there. He's in a little ark made of bulrushes, and he's down there in the edge of the water. And Pharaoh's daughter comes, and she's down there to bathe herself. And as she gets down there, she sees this little ark. She hears the baby cry. She gets the baby and ends up, Moses' mother raises him, all right? And then when Moses' mother raises him and he gets to an age of being weaned from her, and she has nursed him and taken care of him, and he comes of age, she presents him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and he becomes, the Bible says he became Pharaoh's daughter's son. It doesn't look like Moses is having a hard life. I mean, he's living in the Pharaoh's house, in the palace, if you will. Amen. I mean, he's living in the palace and he's got anything and everything he wants. I mean, you're talking about a good life, but I believe with all my heart, while he's at home and mama's taking care of him, mama's telling him a whole different story. Pharaoh and him are teaching him, my friend, and the teachers that he would have had are teaching him, if you really want to enjoy life, you've got to have all the world that you can get your hands on. But mama's teaching him, there's a God in heaven that loves you and that cares about you. This way down here is not the way, but God's got a way. I believe mama was teaching old Moses the things of God while he was just a little bitty baby. Just, hey, I don't mean after he got 15 and 16, it would be a little bit late. Amen. I know it can still happen, but why would you want to wait that long when they're little bitty babies? I look around and all the babies now that are coming to Faith Baptist Church. All the babies. Hey, you don't get discouraged. Look at the babies that God's given this church that you can teach them about Jesus. Yes, sir. Amen. Woo! Amen. Glory to God. We get discouraged because of the way. My friend, we ought to look at the way. Hey, the problem is we're looking at the wrong way when we get discouraged. Yes, sir. Man, God's given us at Faith Baptist Church the privilege of teaching these little bitty babies. About Jesus. Teach them about Jesus. Amen. We don't have time to bicker back and forth and fuss and argue. We don't have time to carry the world's garbage around. My soul, we're busy teaching them little ones about a God in heaven that loves them. Amen. Praise the Lord. I get excited when I think about that, folks. Listen to me. You say, this whole world, listen, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the people in the world. We can reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get them to reach out to the right one. It'll change their direction in life. Hallelujah. I just see old Moses as he's growing up and mama's teaching him about God. I mean, Pharaoh and them, they got teachers that are pushing all this junk in Moses' head when he's a little bitty fella. They're just pushing all the you got to trust this God and believe in that God and worship that God and worship that God off over yonder, and you got to have this God over here and that God. They had all kinds of gods. Hey, they even had gods that had gods. Amen. I can just see as they're teaching Moses all of this stuff, because that was part of growing up in Pharaoh's house. And they're shoving all this in little Pharaoh's head, in Moses' head. They're poking all this God's this and God that, all of these statues and all the idols and everything. They're poking it in Moses' head. My friend, they think they are, but it ain't going in. I mean, it won't even penetrate his little old head. Won't get in his brain. You say, what? Well, it couldn't have had. Why? My friend, because he had a holy God already in there. God,
amen.
God brought his earplugs and put them in old Moses' head. Amen. So he couldn't hear that garbage. Amen. If we'd guard ourselves, my friend, we wouldn't be listening and hearing a lot of garbage that's out in the world. We wouldn't know about it.
Amen.
God was guarding that little fella. And this stuff didn't go in. But he could remember everything mama told him about the God of Israel, the God of heaven, that great God Jehovah, the true and living God, the one God that done the job of all the other gods. You see, they had a God for this kind of job and a God for this kind of job. And if you got in this kind of situation, you got another God for that situation. And then you had to have another God for this situation over here. I'm needing a promotion, so I got to get me a promotion God. I mean, literally, they had gods like that, my friend. And mama's teaching him about one God that'll do all these things. And my friend, listen to me, and he'll doeth it well. Amen. Oh, Moses taking all of this in. But you know what else? What's really hurting Moses? He identifies himself with God's people, rather than identifying himself with the gods of the world. He don't want to be known as one of Pharaoh's. He wants to be known as one of God's. Amen? And because of that, he watched, he saw the afflictions that was upon his people. Though, listen to me, when he wanted some bread, he got bread. When he wanted water, he got water. Whatever Moses wanted, he got it because he was living in the palace. Amen. But he saw the hardships of his family. You know what was happening, my friend? Listen to me. What Moses was doing, he was identifying the fact that even though he wasn't in it, he saw what the gods of this world would do to the children of God. Are you getting it? He saw what the things of this world would dish out to God's people. And it broke his heart. My friend, you can't tell me that it didn't. It had to break his heart as he saw these things happen. He saw the afflictions that they were under. And my friend, listen to me. It's much like us now that we're saved and we look out at the world and we see the world as they're struggling. It's like they're out there in an ocean and they're drowning and they're reaching up and they're trying to grab everything they can to get a hold of as though it's going to save them. Little do they know, the more that they grab, the heavier the weight comes and is the very thing that takes them down. But we see this happening and we feel sorry for them and we want to help them. Amen. Thank God we can be a help to them. Moses is watching the afflictions upon the people, my friend. And then we go on in chapter number 3, in verse number 8. He says, "And I am come down." This is God speaking, telling Moses. He said, "I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." Amen. Notice what God's doing. He said, "I've come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians." Those that have been so hard on my people, he said, "I'm here to deliver you out of this bondage. I'm here to get you out of their hands." Boy, I'm glad for that day that God saved me out of the hand of the devil. Hallelujah. I mean, he took me, listen to me, the old devil had his grips on me, and every day he was getting tighter and tighter. And it wasn't a grip of love, my friend, but it was a grip of destroying, and every day he'd get a little tighter and tighter up on my life with his nasty old grip. What he was doing was he was literally squeezing the life out of me. He was making my life miserable every day. 19 years old, my friend. He was squeezing the life out of me. I had no hope and no help, and I was reaching out for everything I could, my friend. And the devil just kept getting tighter and tighter. My friend, it got to where I couldn't hardly even breathe. That's exactly what the world, the God of this world, will do to you. And God's telling him, said, I've come down to deliver them out of the hands of the devil, out of the hands of the Egyptians. Well, I'm glad for that Thursday night on March the 27th, 1969. When the good God of heaven came down and he set me free from the grips of the old devil. Amen. I'm so glad, praise God, that he saved my soul. And my friend, that I'm taking a different trip now. Yes. Amen. I'm on another journey, praise God. But notice what else now. He says, I'm here to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians in verse 8. And look what he says, and to bring them up out of that land. And to bring them up out of that land. I don't know what happened to you when you got saved. God didn't just set me free, though he set me free. I ought to shout for about 10,000 years over that. But not only did he do that, but he brought me up out of that land. What are you saying? From the place I used to live, from the way I lived, my friend. From that I was accustomed to, God said, "I'm going to make you a new creature in Christ. The old things will pass away. Behold, son, come on with me. Everything's going to get new from here on." Amen. Praise God. Ain't God good? Yes. Woo! I'm telling you, folks, listen, this thing's bigger than me and you both. Amen. Boy, he brought us up out of that land. Listen to me. I don't understand when I read the scriptures. And I find out about the children of Israel as they're wandering through the wilderness, even before they got to that place. But as they're wandering through the wilderness, they keep grumbling and griping. And they keep referring back to Egypt. It's like, well, we had it made there in Egypt. That's where they were crying out for help. because it was so bad in Egypt. How soon we forget when we get our eyes off of where we're going, we get to looking back. You see, our eyes are going to go in one direction or another. And if we don't keep our eyes set on Him, following Him and going with Him, we're going to look back where we came from. We're going to get to looking. We're going to get to looking at those folks that are still lost out there in the world and seeing them as they laugh and cuss, carry on with their filthiness and all the vulgarity in the world and all the things, all the pitiful things of life that was brought upon them. We begin to look at them and say, well, look like to me they're having fun. Look at me, I'm going through troubles and trials. I don't know about you, but I look back yonder and there was never a day, never, even the best of those days have never compared to the worst of the days now. I got it made in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I've got it made, folks. I feel sorry for you if you don't have it made. I'm being honest with you. I don't know why you don't have it made. If you saved, you got it made.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe you just keep looking over your shoulder. Lusting after those things you're supposed to have given up.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I'm serious. That'll cause you a lot of heartaches and grief.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it'll pull you down, folks, if you keep looking over your shoulder where you came from. When I look back where I came from, it makes me quickly turn my head and look where I'm going and say, well, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Boy, God's telling Moses something. He said, I come down to bring them up out of that land. Now listen to me. Everything that God takes from us, He always replaces. Everything God takes from us, He replaces. He always takes bad things and replaces them with good.
Amen.
Amen. He took our old father out and gave us the new father.
Amen.
I mean, God, listen to me. God deals with our heart about our music. Huh? God always teaches us, take that old music out, put some new music in. Amen. It's not just take it out. Because if you take it out and everything just leave it that way, you got a voidness and you're going to fill it some way or another.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You see, some of us just haven't learned yet how to fill the voidnesses in our life. You say, well, how do you feel it? You seem to know everything. Well, I'm really not all that smart, but God showed me a few things in life. You always fill it with God.
Amen.
Let God take care of those void places, and you'll find out they end up being full.
Yes, sir.
And as a matter of fact, they end up running slap over. Amen. I mean, they just bubble up and bubble up and bubble over and bubble up and over. Amen. And all of a sudden, folks are saying, what is this? Because it's getting on them. Amen. It's called the goodness of God. Then he says this, listen. He says, I'm getting you out of that land unto a large land. He's talking about a place that's plentiful. Big enough to accommodate everybody that wants to come and go. You know of a place like that? Huh? Boy, I don't know about you. I'm having a hard time. My mind just keeps wondering about this thing. Not in the matter of I wonder, but in the matter of I know. Amen. Because he goes ahead and he says, not only in a large land, but into a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, I believe I've shared with you before, this don't mean that there's milk and honey flowing like would be flowing in a river. This just means it's a land that it would be a blessing to live in. A land of plenteous. Amen. He said, I'm leading you out of that land down yonder, that land where they persecuted you, where they afflicted you, where they made life miserable for you. I mean, you even hated to get up in the morning because you know it was going to be a day in hell there in Egypt. Amen. And I'm taking you out of that. I'm not going to just set you free. I'm going to take you out of that land away from them, and I'm going to take you to a land that floweth with milk and honey. Well, praise God. You know what? I'm traveling to a better place. Amen. Boy, I look back where I came from. I was under bondage. My taskmaster, I mean, he got rougher every day on me. He demanded more out of me. Listen to me. Stop and think about it. He demanded more out of me. Every day I got older, he demanded more out of me. When I was just a little bitty fella, he didn't demand much out of me. I'm talking about the devil. He didn't demand a whole lot out of me. But my friends, I began to get older. He demanded more and more. He wanted more of my time. He wanted more of my joy. He wanted more of this and he wanted more of that. He was taking he was sucking life right out of me every day. All of a sudden, God took me out of that. Praise the Lord. He's leading me to a land that's full of blessings. As a matter of fact, on the journey, there's a whole lot of blessings coming along. Amen. I mean, the journey is not all that bad. Amen. I mean, it's wonderful, as a matter of fact. But notice then what he says, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. He's reminding them, there's still going to be your enemies there. Amen. And then he says in verse number 9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Moses is telling his in-laws, he's saying, listen, let me tell you. He's saying, we're journeying unto to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. I mean, Moses is thinking about where they've come out of, and he's thinking about the place, the Bible says. Remember in John chapter 14, verse number 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then Jesus speaks to those disciples and he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen? Well, I'm telling you what, listen to me. Where are they going? To a place. To the place that God has promised them. That's where they're going. Amen? Where are you going tonight? I mean, really, where are you going tonight? Well, I'm going to a place. I'm going to a place, praise the Lord. You say, Brother Danny, but you already said it's not heaven. It wasn't for them, but I'm going to that place called heaven. Amen. Where there be no more suffering, no more pain. That's what the Bible says. Amen. I'm a journeying there, my friend. Listen to me. I'm a going, praise God. I'm on my way tonight. Even as I speak now, I've just come by this way, by Faith Baptist Church, to encourage you. Hey, listen, let's keep up the good work of giving out the invitation. Amen. I mean, let's just keep on realizing, Brother Tom, we're handling the most prized possession that this world ever know, and that is Jesus. Amen. And then what we need to do is we need to let them know, hey, you can come with us. Amen. God just called us to come by this way to encourage you. Don't give up, Christian. Don't give up. Somebody else is out there. They'll respond. There's somebody that'll respond. The night I got saved, that preacher preached like there's thousands of people there. There probably was about 200. But he preached like there was thousands. And he preached as though every one of them in that congregation was lost. He gave an invitation, and it was like he was trying to get everybody in every pew to come forward and get saved. But only one got saved. Only one. And I'm that one. There's somebody else out yonder tonight. It may not be the multitudes. We're so busy, so wrapped up in trying to get the multitudes that we overlook the individuals. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That doesn't mean necessarily the multitude. It means, I believe, more the individuals. If you noticed who Jesus dealt with most of the time? Individuals. How many were saved that day the leper got saved? One. How about that man in the tombs? How many of them was there in the tomb? One. How about that woman with the issue of blood that reached out and touched the hem of the Lord's garment? How many were there? There's only one. Well, we're so caught up in the multitudes that we're forgetting about the individuals out there. And because we're letting the individuals go to hell, the multitudes are going. Amen. There's another Danny Long out there. It might frighten you, but there's another Danny Long out there that's lost and on the road to hell. And he's needing somebody to come by his way and tell him about this God in heaven that loves him. Hey. Nobody ever told me that till I got to be 19 years old, living in Alabama. The United States of America. No one told me about God's love till I got 19 years old. Shame on the church. Shame on the church. My friend, no one ever came by and knocked on our door and told us about Jesus. Shame on the... God help us that we're not... Shame on us. There's another one me. There's another one of you out yonder somewhere too. My friend, they might be shy and bashful like I was, and they're not just going to come on their own, but they need some encouragement. Sounds like to me that's what Moses is offering his family here, his in-laws, is a little bit of encouragement. He's not just saying you ought to come and go with us to that land we're journeying to, but he sweetens up the pot. He tells them a little bit about it. He says, we'll do you good because the Lord has promised good to us. He's sweetening up the pot. Isn't God good to us? Folks, listen, if you're saved tonight, you ought to be so excited. And I mean, you ought to shout. You ought to praise the Lord. You ought to just be so tickled you can't hardly sit still. Amen. But at the same time, you ought to be ready to reach out and tell somebody, hey, listen, I'm going somewhere. Come on, go with me. Amen. Listen to me, Christian. It don't take much of an effort. And if I remember right, we always struggle with, well, I'm not an outgoing person. I can't really talk to people. I believe that was Moses' problem, wasn't it? Huh? It don't take much to tell others about Jesus. You say, well, I don't really know all the Bible. Moses didn't know any of it. He didn't. Because there wasn't none of it pinned down at this time. No, Moses is giving out an invitation anyway. You know why? Listen to me. It wasn't because he had Romans chapter number 10, verses 9 through 13 memorized. It wasn't because he had the Romans road, amen. It's because he was a-going somewhere, and he's giving the invitation to those that he loved to come and go with him. It don't take much, does it? Amen. We're going to have soul-winning classes. Well, good for you. But you don't need them. You just go out there and tell somebody what happened to you.
Amen.
Just go tell somebody what happened to you. That's all Moses is doing right here. He's saying, hey, I was down yonder in that land, but God came along. He's pulled us out of that land, and now we're headed to a better land. Amen. Isn't that what's happening to us, folks? Praise God. Let's all stand tonight. Everyone standing.